home, stepped into a chopped-out front, and the teams are at full strength. Here's Havlicek with a shot, he scores! Gallagher's right at the end of the power play. It had expired, but it's 2-0 Gallagher.
Islanders country, hello and welcome to the Isles Blog podcast alongside Tom DeLuca. I'm Joe Bono. A reminder, you can follow the entire team on Twitter at Isles Blog and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or listen at nyislesblog.com. Our guests today are Christian Arnold of Islanders Point Blank and Scott Charles from Islanders Insight. Together, they formed the Shutdown Pair, and you can listen to their weekly NHL podcast at alongtheboards.com. And it is now available also on iTunes. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
And Christian, let's start with you. Going into Saturday night on the four-game losing streak and then having the Wild, the Kings, and the Ducks up next, that was about as close to a must-win as you can get. Just how huge was it for the Islanders to get finally back in the win column and get some breathing room between them, the Penguins, and the Capitals?
Yeah, it was certainly a big win. You had the Penguins who were nipping at the Islanders' heels, the Capitals who are nipping on the Islanders' heels, and, you know, there are a lot of Islander fans who are holding on to that faint hope that they can somehow eclipse the Rangers and move back into first place. But it was a big win because just the fact that, A, the Islanders scored more than one goal for the first time in four games and they got back on the win board. They needed that big time. They've been playing good hockey. I know a lot of people have been upset with how the Islanders are playing, but if you look at the last four games on that losing streak before Saturday night's win, you look at how the Islanders are playing. They were playing pretty good hockey in the last couple of games, even that loss in Chicago. They've been very defensive-minded games, and really the Islanders haven't been getting the bounces that you saw a lot throughout this season. And you saw them get a couple bounces. You saw that shot in the second period from Travis Zajac, I believe it was, who hit the crossbar on what could have been the game-tying goal and could have put things in an entire different direction. But the Islanders started to get those bounces last night. It's a big win for them to get back on the right track. Obviously, you put some space between the Penguins and the Capitals, and you give yourself some more room. And even in that room, obviously no one's really panicking, but to get back into that winning mindset, you could tell there was a bit of relief on everyone's face last night.
Scott, in February, the Islanders played virtually every other day. The schedule has slowed down a bit in March. Are the guys in the room feeling tired after such a long month? And we saw the four-game losing streak. They looked a little sluggish. Are those guys feeling a little fatigued?
I don't know if it's fatigue, but 15 games in 28 days definitely takes your toll on the body. But they did get the rare 3 days off at this point in the season leading into the Devils game. So they had a lot of time to work on the small things, and they had three tough practices, according to the players. So I think that the 3 days off were good. I wouldn't say it was fatigue, though. A few guys were a little banged up. We're getting healthy now, and they should be getting ready to roll here come April.
You know, Christian, you kind of made the point today on Islanders Point Blank about how tighter these games have now been. And this is a young core group of players. Yes, some of them have a little bit of playoff experience from a couple seasons ago. But are there any concerns that, number one, the length of the season for size is much longer than it's ever been? And two, they're really now getting a feel for what it is for teams to come in and play desperate hockey against them. And it's a very new thing. You'd have Boychuk, you have Letty in the locker room, but for the majority of this roster, it's someplace they've never been before.
Yeah, there's still a maturation period that I think the Islanders are going through. And you know, they've grown leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. And you've seen guys like Brock Nelson, Anders Lee, and a lot of the other young players come in and they really excelled in that maturity department, and something the Islanders pride themselves on when they go after players and draft players. But they're still a team that's maturing in a sense, too. These are tighter games. I think they're getting a kind of a crash course of what the playoffs are going to be like, very tight matches, very defensive-minded games. You know, you're going to rely on goaltending a little bit more. You saw Yaroslav Halak make a couple big saves on Saturday against the New Jersey Devils. But I think you're seeing the Islanders learn and mature in the process of now they're getting that taste of what these playoff games are going to be like, that they have to be smarter, that the bounces maybe aren't going to go their way all the time, and that they have to control their frustration, and they have to make sure that they don't make those little mistakes that could come back and hurt them, like being out of position or you know, maybe the puck bounces off a skate and into the net. This is the process where they're learning. You've heard Jack Capuano say on a couple of occasions that, and a couple other players too, even Johnny Boychuk, say that, you know, they'd rather go through this streak now than a month from now when, you know, if this happens a couple times, their season's done. I'm not concerned. I think that with any team, you're going to get a streak like this. You're going to get a slump. It also points out to, like I said, that this is a team that's also learning a little bit what the playoffs are going to be like and learning how to play in those tight games. And you're also seeing Jack Capuano maybe start to now understand how he has to coach as well in these sort of tighter games where maybe you have to make those adjustments more, and maybe you have to be more strategic with your adjustments and make those adjustments instead of trying to stick to the plan as usual.
Scott, Saturday night, Nick Leddy returns to the Islanders lineup, but blue line regular Calvin DeHaan is a healthy scratch. Now, Sunday in the New York Post, I read some comments from DeHaan that expressed some frustration towards not just Capuano, but the general mood. Is that kind of the feeling around the locker room, frustration lately with the way the team's been playing?
No, I wouldn't categorize it as frustration. I think that this team, they do believe in Jack Capuano, and they do believe that some of the lineup decisions he's made. You see Ryan Strome, who was a healthy scratch versus Montreal. He came back, gets a goal last night. And yes, he was fired up a bit to get back in the lineup. The issue with Calvin DeHaan is I really do think it's a matter of balance on the defensive side. There are only so many offensive defensemen you could have in the lineup. And on a normal night, when you have Leddy, when you have Lubomir Brzoznowski, when you have Hamnick trying to push the puck up, it's just a game of numbers, and a Brian Strait is needed on the back end to help balance it out.
Brian Strait is needed. Who thought we would have heard that a few months ago, although he's played better, as has Matt Donovan, who earned the right to be in the lineup Saturday in New Jersey. We're talking with Christian Arnold and Scott Charles. Follow them on Twitter, @CA_NYHockey and @ScottMCharles. What do you guys think about this, you know, coaching style of Capuano with these healthy scratches, proving a statement or making a statement to some of these young players, first Strome and DeHaan? We've seen Michael Grabner scratched a couple times this year, other guys he's given a rest to. But it seems like with these last two healthy scratches, he was trying to make a point that you got to up your game. Your game isn't where it needs to be. And the immediate response, at least with Strome, were good considering he came out with a goal and assist and looked like a much better player. Christian?
Yeah, it's interesting to know that there's a lot of people, and I'm sure now that Scott said that Brian Strait is needed in the lineup, I'm sure he'll get a couple of hateful tweets today. But I think that people don't give Jack Capuano enough credit. And it's interesting, when the Canadians were in town, there was a lot of chatter from the Montreal media about him being in consideration for the Jack Adams. And, you know, you talk to some of the players, and even talking to some former players, P.A. Parenteau, obviously playing for the Montreal Canadiens now, you know, he said something interesting to me, and a couple of things interesting to me was that, you know, he's never played with anyone on that team that hasn't wanted to get up and battle and play for Jack Capuano, and that he knows his players very well. And so when you see him make a decision like sitting Ryan Strome and sitting Calvin DeHaan, you know, or at least you can kind of take away from that there's a certain reason that's happening, and that it's giving them an opportunity to maybe get a different perspective of what their game is, where their game is at, and how they're playing. Ryan Strome, up until Saturday night, wasn't playing at where he was before, and you saw him get a little extra boost on Saturday against the Devils. Calvin DeHaan has played good. I'm not saying he hasn't, but there are certain areas in his game that I think haven't really been at par where they've been earlier in the season. And then this was an opportunity to maybe get that chance to sit in the press box, you know, watch what's going on down at the ice, and maybe get a different vantage point of what he's doing on the ice for one game. And he'll likely get back in the lineup Tuesday against against Minnesota. And I think part of it has to do, and I do agree with Scott to an extent, that it's also just finding that best fit for your defensive core. The Islanders' defense is very offensive-minded. Johnny Boychuk obviously is a very offensive-minded, as well as a physical defensive blue liner. But if you look at the core of that Islanders' defense, very offensive-minded. And Brian Strait, whether you like him or not, he brings that defense-first kind of mentality. And the Islanders kind of need that on the blue line to balance things out. And, you know, Matt Donovan also playing well recently, offensive-minded. So it's kind of a twofold thing. It's an opportunity for Calvin DeHaan to get an opportunity to see what he needs to maybe improve on and get a chance to reevaluate some of the things he's doing, and it keeps the balance that the Islanders' defense needs to be successful.
Scott, we have Michael Neuwirth as the Islanders' backup goaltender now. He's appeared in a few games since being acquired from Buffalo a couple weeks ago. He hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been terrific. Do the Islanders have the confidence in him at this time to be able to play him in order to give Halak some rest down the stretch?
Well, you talk about rest for Halak. I mean, you're going to need Halak to play these games to earn your bet and battle for your position to get home ice in the postseason. I don't know if it's a matter of trust or confidence in Neuwirth as much as it is you need your starting goalie at this point. I was not a big fan of the Michael Neuwirth trade when it happened. Now, part of that is, now I do not know if they knew about the Chad Johnson injury. Was it a pre-existing injury that they knew could go at any time? So that is one issue. But to give up a third-round pick for what could have been 6 or 7 games to Neuwirth, I didn't think that was really needed down the stretch.
Personally, I'm much more optimistic about Neuwirth that he has an Islanders mask and one that glows in the dark, too. Quick reviews from both of you on the mask.
I would say it's a pretty cool mask. I will say just to jump off what Scott was saying before. Me and Scott are at odds with the trade. I think it was a good move for the Islanders to pick up Neuwirth. I will say I was a big Chad Johnson fan. I was one to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I think that in having Michael Neuwirth on the roster, you get obviously a guy who has very good taste in goalie equipment, and you get someone who's just a step above. Where Chad Johnson was, and he's a bit more consistent. Yes, the Islanders have lost a couple times he's played, and he has been in a win, but you look at his body of work in Buffalo, which was not a very good team, and have much, much less than the Islanders do, and he managed to pull out a lot of wins for them and make saves on a very high volume of shots. I think that's something that will benefit them, even if, let's say, in the playoffs, God forbid, something happens to Locke where you need to give him a night off, you have Michael Neuwirth in net, you still have a very good chance of winning. So I think the trade was good, and I think his mask is pretty cool.
Yeah, the mask is definitely cool, but to Scott's point, you know, you now look down the stretch with 9 games left, he might wear that new fancy mask about 2 or 3 more times as a member of the Islanders because he's an unrestricted free agent, so he gave up a third-round pick, no guarantee to re-sign him, at least Chad Johnson, even though he was very underwhelming, was under contract for next year. So you could be going looking for another backup goaltender, whether it be Kevin Poulin or someone else next year for the Islanders. We're talking with the shutdown pair, Joe Bono, Tom DeLuca, Isles Blog Podcast, Scott Charles, and Christian Arnold. Scott, I'll go to you on this one. Kyle Okposo, he gets the empty net goal. Maybe that'll get him started. But how would you judge Kyle since coming back? It wasn't a body injury. It wasn't a shoulder. It was an eye injury, something where it wasn't, his legs. It wasn't something like a knee that he had to kind of build his strength back up again. But he has seemed rusty. And overall, that line, him playing with Tavares, leading the league in scoring and then finally got on the board, back on the board with a assist on the empty net last night. So what's been your thoughts on Okposo since he's come back from the detached retina?
You know, I think it's tough to judge one individual player, especially going through this 4-game losing streak where the Islanders as a team have had trouble scoring. You know, right now it's all about just finding the rhythm as a team. They got to get their line combination set for the playoffs. They got to make a decision. Is Kyle Okposo going to be on the first line with Tavares and either Lee or Bailey, or are you going to play him on the second line to try to form a 1-2 punch? You know, as you said, he was rusty. He's getting back to it. I kind of compare it to Mark Stahl, the Rangers, when he came back with the eye injury. And that was a little bit of a different injury, but it's a similar state that you have to – it's going to take time for them to progress back to their normal selves.
Well, Christian, the Islanders have a couple of tough contests coming up, a few of them with the Western Conference teams. Where is the game that the Islanders really need to grab over the next couple of weeks?
I think they're all important points. I think if we're talking this week, you want to at least pull out 4, possible 6 points. I think if you're the Islanders, you want to keep that pace because Pittsburgh and Washington are still right behind you, and they're two very good teams and two hungry teams. I think Scott and I have talked about this away from the podcast, but the Pittsburgh Penguins have done such a good job this year, and the funny thing is they've gone so unrecognized in the Metropolitan Division because of the rebirth of the New York Islanders, you could say, this season, and the Rangers being so good. And they've kind of flown under the radar. So they're right behind the Islanders. So you look at this upcoming week, you have Minnesota. I think that's a winnable game for the Islanders. You have a couple tough games coming up. You're playing Anaheim, you're playing Los Angeles, you're playing Detroit. So those are all tough teams. You need to win two of those four games to get some points and to keep and maintain some sort of distance between yourselves as the Islanders and Pittsburgh and the Capitals.
Scott, how many points do you think the Islanders need to finish with to get that two seed and to have home ice in the first round? 92 points right now, tied with games played with the Capitals, but Penguins do have two games in hand on the Islanders. They're both tied in regulation overtime wins. What do you think that magic number is to maintain in the second position in the Metropolitan Division?
You know, it's hard to put a number on it, and I don't know if necessarily home ice and the points are as important as the way the team is playing. Yes, they got a win last night, and they started to get back to playing Islanders hockey, but they need to find their rhythm. They need to get back to playing where they were in November, being faster than the other teams, attacking. So I think it's a tough statement to say what kind of points they're going to get. You know, this week alone with four games at home, with, as Christian mentioned, Minnesota, L.A., Anaheim, and Detroit, you know, win two of the first three in the Detroit's house money game on the back-to-back, but it's really more about playing well and playing Islanders hockey, I think, heading into the postseason and having that rhythm as a team than it is about where they finish.
Christian, Scott just mentioned the Islanders establishing a rhythm. What has hindered them from establishing that rhythm of late that they haven't been playing their type of hockey?
I think it's a combination of just, we were talking about it earlier, adjusting to how tight these games have become and finding those bounces. The Islanders have had scoring opportunities. They've been out shooting teams for the most part. They've been getting, scoring chances and shot attempts and all of that. The problem is the Islanders just haven't been able to find the back of the net. I think if you look at the last couple games, even in Chicago, the Islanders have faced some very good goaltenders, and that's hurt them. I mean, you're playing in tight games, and the Islanders are a team that have been putting up, averaging somewhere around three goals before this stretch of four games of losing and then the win finally. So I think it's just the Islanders are adjusting to and, as we were talking about before, maturing in the sense that this is new territory for them in the sense that they're not used to playing these type of tight hockey games this late in the season for a lot of them because they're young players. They only have really one experience of making it to the postseason in a lockout-shortened year, and that was such a funky, weird season that you didn't really get the opportunity to really experience what a late run in the season going into a playoff stretch is like for a lot of these guys. So I think it's a lot of adjustments to playing in those type of tight games. And I think, when things are going wrong and they're just not getting wins, those bounces aren't going their way and the momentum just isn't going their way. And you could sense that. They won't say it, but there was a bit of frustration in not being able to put the puck in the back of the net and having those scoring opportunities. I think the one that encapsulated what was going on with the Islanders the most was that Matt Martin attempt against the Montreal Canadiens on Saturday where he had an open net essentially, and Carey Price made a very good save on a so-so shot from Matt Martin right on the doorstep. So I think the fact that the Islanders weren't getting the bounces and they were adjusting to this tighter style, more defensive style of hockey kind of combined for that four-game stretch. Plus, you don't have Nick Leddy in the lineup as well, an offensive-minded defenseman who has been very good for them on the back end. And then all kind of just combined for this very strange low-scoring streak of four losses that weren't as bad as they seemed, but it just wasn't a great time for that to happen. And I think that's the combination of what happened in that span for the Islanders.
Yeah, if I could just interject there for one second. I've seen this term thrown around there a lot that in the past four games before the Devils game, the Islanders were snake bitten, and even Capuano said after the Devils game that in some of those games in the losing streak, they feel like they were outplaying the opponents. I did not think that was the case. I think they got totally outplayed in Chicago. I think Montreal played a much better game than them at the Coliseum. So I think there's a little bit more worry than the snake-bitten Islanders just having trouble not getting the bounces.
Me and Scott are at odds. I disagree.
You guys are disagreeing a lot, huh? You guys are disagreeing a lot now, I guess. I got Brian Street, I got this. And you guys get along on the shutdown pair? Are you guys cordial on the show?
We're cordial enough. I mean, he gave me a ride to New Jersey the other night. So, I mean, we're pretty friendly with each other.
Isles Blog Podcast with the Shutdown Pair, Christian Arnold and Scott Charles. Listen to their weekly show at alongtheboards.com, also now available on iTunes. Talk about bright spots, though, even amidst a four-game losing streak, Scott, and the penalty kill, which was the black eye for the Islanders all season long, has actually been much, much better. And they're not blowing 3-0 leads in the third period anymore. These games are been 2-1, more defensive-minded games. So what has gone right now with the penalty kill that Greg Cronin and company couldn't figure out the first two-thirds of the season?
Well, the penalty kill has gone through some hot streaks before, this one obviously being the longest one. I think it's just a really simple thing that they've just been more aggressive. They're utilizing their speed. They got good players to kill penalties, Casey Cizikas for one, Michael Grabner when he's in the lineup. I think it's just more attacking, more putting pressure on the opponent's D-man and getting the pucks out of the zone. Capuano said it simply, it's win the faceoff and get it out, and that's what we were having trouble doing before.
And Christian, what do you think in terms of matchups for the Islanders in the postseason? Let's assume they don't end up being a wild card in the 7th or 8th position. Let's say they finish either 2 or 3 in the Metro. In terms of matchups between the Penguins or the Capitals, kind of give us a little bit of your initial thoughts on which is the better matchup for the Islanders.
The better matchup, I would say, would probably be Pittsburgh, in my opinion. I think that, obviously, the regular season and the postseason, there's two entirely different beasts, but if you look at the way the Islanders and Penguins have played each other, they're always quality hockey games, and you can tell the Islanders always get up for that team. So I think you have that memory for some of those guys in the locker room that, hey, this is a team we took 6 games. We were on the verge of forcing a game 7 back in 2013, and they'll have that going for them. You know, their goaltending's a lot better, and we've seen the body of work the Pittsburgh Penguins have done in the playoffs the last couple of years. They're a good hockey team for sure, but I mean, the Islanders have found ways to get under the skin of Marc-Andre Fleury, and if you're able to throw him off his game, anything is possible at that point. You look at the way the Islanders play the Capitals, obviously, again, regular season is such a different beast, but they played good games. But I think the Capitals, it's not the matchup you want in the first round. You want the Penguins, you want that sort of extra jump, knowing that you almost beat them a couple of years ago, that extra jump, because that's a real rivalry game. And you just look at the way the Islanders are positioned right now and the way the players they have on the team, and they're a team that they could very well beat the Pittsburgh Penguins in a 6-game series in the first round. So I think, to me, the Pittsburgh Penguins would probably be the best matchup for the Islanders in the first round.
If you guys and Christian kind of interject. All season long, I've been asking the question, what needs to happen for the season, as fairy tale as it's been, to be successful? So I'll start with you, Scott. Now here on doing this on March the 22nd, Islanders with a 4-point lead, second spot in the Metropolitan Division. How does this season need to end for people to look upon it and say, you know, this was truly a success, not only half of the season, and actually can really build upon?
Well, I think it really comes down to winning a playoff series, winning the first round, playing a competitive second round series. Maybe you could sweep by to get to the conference finals, but winning the first round of the playoffs, I think, would define a successful season. I think a lot of people look at that lockout shortened year as that was the coming out party for the New York Islanders. I think this is their coming out party this year. They're preparing for the future. You got 4 top prospects in Pulak, Reinhardt, Del Cole, and Hosang, who are eventually going to make the transition to the NHL the next 2 years. A lot of young players still developing, and we've seen the Anders Lee, Brock Nelson, Ryan Strome starting to develop on the NHL level. So to me, this is their coming out party. Get as much playoff experience as possible. Winning the first round would define that as a successful season for me.
Christian, you agree? Something you guys agree on? Team needs to round playoff series, even with Letty and Boychuk resigning, all the good stuff, they have to win a playoff series?
Absolutely, yeah. I completely agree with Scott. I think if you look at what the Islanders have done, everything's been great what they've done up until this point, but for this to be a truly successful season, you have to be able to win a playoff series in the postseason. That's what it has to be for this to be a successful season. Yes, finishing in the top 2, top 3 of the Metropolitan Division is very very good for the Islanders. Being able to lock up Nick Leddy and Johnny Boychuk is very good. But for this to be a truly successful season, this team has to prove that the regular season wasn't just a flash in the pan and they're not setting themselves up to be like the San Jose Sharks, the one-and-done San Jose Sharks. So a first-round playoff win has to be the mission once you get into the postseason, because other than that, it's not a successful season, because then this team didn't go as far as they have the potential to go.
Guys, this was fun. Don't fight with each other on the way to games anymore. And be sure to listen to them on their podcast every single week at alongtheboards.com, also now available on iTunes. This was fun. Let's do it again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, guys, thanks for having us. Have a good time.
You've been listening to the Isles Blog Podcast. Visit nyislesblog.com for an archive of the show or subscribe to the podcast via iTunes. Follow the team on Twitter @IslesBlog and send comments to nyislesblog@gmail.com.